Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Reflection this morning, we begin with the Old Testament lesson from the prophet Jeremiah. You may be seated. I'm going to invite you to consider the opening scene from this book of Jeremiah. And you might want to have the service folder handy to look at some of the text that is before us. The word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah and he says, Jeremiah, I have a plan for you. And even before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I had a plan. I've appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. And the Lord is saying to Jeremiah, in effect, now's the time. But Jeremiah replies, wait a minute. We read in the text, alas, sovereign Lord, he says. The Hebrew is literally pronounced for alas, aha, which is Jeremiah's way of saying, hang on. And then he goes on to throw down what he thought must have been a kind of trump card when God was asking him to do something. He argues, I do not know how to speak. In other words, I don't know what to say. I am too young. And this verse is translated also, I am only a child. You can almost hear Jeremiah thinking, who would listen to someone as young as me? You don't understand, Lord, this can't possibly be the plan for me. You must have someone else in mind. Well, here right away, I would submit to you that we should place ourselves in this scene. We need to stop and think this morning in our own minds, how would you fill in the blank with a description that's appropriate to your particular situation today? See, our reply to the Lord so often sounds very much like Jeremiah. We too say, I am only, and then fill in the blank. What trump card do you try to throw down when God lays before you an opportunity to follow his plan in your life? Aha, Lord, we want to respond. You've got the wrong person. Remember, I'm only, again, fill in the blank. So what follows your three little words of resistance? I am only. Many of us today would like to still be able to say, if only I were a youth. But that ship has sailed. And if that description no longer applies to you, there are still countless other ways we fill in the blank. Hey, I'm only a grandma or grandpa. My career is behind me. Or I am only a mechanic, a builder, a laborer, an office worker. I'm not a theologian. I am not a Bible expert. I'm only trying to get along in this life, do my job, prepare for my retirement, take care of my family, my own health. I'm not an activist or a prophet. I'm only one voice, one pair of hands. What could the Lord possibly want from me? Well, if youth is an adequate description of your stage in life today, you too do not get a pass from God's call any more than Jeremiah did. You see, he was probably younger than 20. So he was your age when he heard the voice of the Lord. So now is not the time for you to say to God, aha, hang on, wait a minute, I'm young, I'm only a kid, I'm still trying to figure this whole life thing out. What could you possibly want me to say or do on your behalf, Lord? You've got to have somebody else in mind. You see, I'm not really the bold witnessing type. I'm only trying to fit into my world, my class, my family, my community. I don't see what you need me for. But listen again to how our Lord responds to Jeremiah's resistance. He doesn't give him a pass and say, well, okay then, never mind. And God doesn't soft sell it either, as if to say, oh, it's really nothing. No, instead he says this, do not say, I am too young. For to all whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. You see, our three little words of resistance, I am only, are met by God's four astonishing words of promise. I am with you. Whoever you are, in whatever stage of life you find yourself today, you are a part of God's plan, for He knew you even before He formed you in the womb. Remember, Jesus said to those following Him, even the very hairs on your head are numbered. So intimately does God know you and the smallest details of who you are, where you are in life, what you need, what makes you afraid. And so intricately has He woven you into His extraordinary plan. So to each one of us today, our Lord's word is the same. Do not say, I am only. Hear instead His promise to you. I am with you. You know, a few across history are chosen to serve God in roles that seem almost larger than life. Prophets like Jeremiah or Isaiah. Leaders like Abraham or Moses, faithful servants like Ruth or Mary, bold witnesses like Daniel or Paul. And those are names in the scriptures that can make it seem as if God's call to service is limited to these few giants in history. But there is no such limitation in God's plan. You know, of the billions of people that God has brought into this world of His own creation, the overwhelming majority of us are called on to live seemingly ordinary lives. But they are lives with purpose, lives that have the attention of our Lord. Consider who Jesus spent His time with. He rarely spent time with the influential and the famous, except to call them to repent by virtue of the way they tended to treat the rest of the world. No, Jesus spent most of His time with the likes of us, people just trying to get through this life, people who may not always see it, but are surely a part of God's plan. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, it isn't directed to the preachers to thousands, to the great leaders of nations, to the generals of armies, or heroic examples of faith. No, his letter too, it's directed to ordinary folks in Ephesus. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, it is directed equally today to us. And in that letter, we can find a part of God's call. A call to serve as each of our lives is lived out in so many dramatic different ways. Here, we find a part of God's plan for your life. It's not complicated, but it's also not trivial. Listen to what He's guiding us to do. As daughters and sons created to be like God in how we live, He says, put off falsehood, speak the truth, don't hold on to your anger, don't steal, don't use unwholesome talk, get rid of bitterness, rage, brawling, and so on. Now, I doubt that any of that sounds like the kind of language that we would typically associate with this idea of, this is God's plan for your life. No, we tend to think of God's plan more like, be a prophet, be a doctor, be a teacher, be a leader. Paul's words, I mean, let's face it, at first glance, Paul's words sound like just a bunch of commandments. But this is what I want to encourage you to notice in God's word today. In these commands is God's call. Because each one of them extends beyond just you to those around you. This call to holiness, it isn't proclaimed just because God wants you to be just a really, really good person. There's a larger purpose, a larger opportunity to serve one another. And in serving is the very heart of God's plan. Listen to St. Paul again. He says, speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So the point here is that the truth that we speak strengthens who we are all together. Perhaps you're familiar with a disease called fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia is a condition where the brain sends signals into the nerves of the extremities, and it causes the sensation of pain, and sometimes severe pain, even though there is no outward reason why that person should be suffering. It is what one might call a neurological lie, creating pain that need not be there. It's a disease. And the same can be said among us. False, untruthful speech, unwholesome talk, the ways in which we so often can drag each other down, it becomes a kind of relational lie within our community, causing pain that simply doesn't need to be there. It harms the whole body, the whole community, and God calls each one of us to be a servant of the whole body, to build it up instead of tearing it down. Now, that may not sound like a big deal. It may not sound like some big, grand plan, but that's the point. Our willingness to serve one another in ways that are sometimes seemingly insignificant, seemingly small, in those ways, we reveal how we walk in the holiness of God, how we fulfill God's call to each of us. And we could perhaps have no greater example of such humble service than we see in our gospel today. Jesus is at a point in his ministry where he is so popular, so famous, so well regarded by the crowds that they want to force him to become their earthly king. And instead, he takes on the very lowliest act of service in the ancient world. Only a slave would wash the feet of a dinner guest. And yet, without fanfare, without warning, Jesus quietly leaves the table, and he begins this astonishing work of service. And so startling and seemingly out of place was it that Peter tries to protest. But our Lord assures him that it is more fitting than Peter even realizes. And Jesus makes his purpose abundantly clear. He uses that act of humble service as an example of how we are to serve one another. Nothing grand or glorious in foot washing, just willingness and humility. An even greater willingness to serve would be seen by our Lord just a few short hours later when he was hanging on that cross, sacrificing himself for all of the times when we, every one of us, has put our plans, our desires, our sense of importance above the will of God, and ahead of service to our neighbor, to the people around us. And yet, even those acts of our own sinful selfishness could not thwart the greater plan of God to serve us even unto death. The very God who formed you in the womb, rescued you from a death you deserve, has placed you on this path of life and has called you into a unique life of service. Whatever your age, whatever your circumstance, his call is the same. Be compassionate, to be forgiving, to be Christ-like. And however you are called and lead, hear always the promise of God spoken to you. I am with you. Amen. And may the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds assured of God's presence and his promise in Christ today and always. Amen.